Sports Talk Chicago with Joey Christopoulos is brought to you by
Injured in an accident? MVP Injury Law is your most valuable player when you want to score. Visit MVPinjuryLaw.com. Call us today.
312-883-9500-MVP. Welcome to Sports Talk Chicago. And now, with your host, Joey Christopoulos.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back into another episode of Sports Talk Chicago with Joey Christopoulos. You can follow me at Joey Sports Guy. Thank you so much for coming into the show. If you're watching us on YouTube, you make sure that you like, you comment, and you subscribe to the channel. If you want to check us out audio only on your podcast, just Google Sports Talk Chicago, and it'll pop up on Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. And also, I want to thank the great radio affiliates that are broadcasting Sports Talk Chicago across the great state of Illinois. 98.3 The Life, WKAN, 105.5 The Ticket, ACTV, Jed TV, WJOB, Cities 92.9 Talk FM, WROK in Rockford, and 101.1 Peoria Sports Radio. Thank you so much for tuning in, and without further ado, let's get to our episode. Hello, everyone, and thank you so much for hopping on into the episode here on Sports Talk Chicago. I greatly appreciate it. Great to be back here. Week 3 Chicago Bears football right around the corner. The Indianapolis Colts are our next opponent. And look, there's a lot to talk about in this episode. And what better than, obviously, we're going to get into some things that I want to criticize for sure. But of course, we have to hit the lead here. I want to talk about Caleb Williams for the first 2 weeks. As I mentioned on last week's episode, I'm with probably many people in Chicago Bears fans throughout the city that said Caleb played bad. So how did it go week 2 in my opinion? Look, I think he played a little bit better. I did like what I saw from him early on. When I talked about last week about some of the keys to get the Chicago Bears off to a good start, I do think that that first 15 script got him in a direction that was positive for Caleb Williams. He was able to get the ball out. I believe he completed 10 of his first 12 passes. It was looking better. Now, is he passing the ball 12 yards down the field right now? No, he's not. Still an issue. And as the game wore on, and as the Houston Texans began to grind on this offensive line, which, trust me, folks, we are going to spend a lot of time talking about the Chicago Bears offensive line in this first segment, you could just see it kind of erode for Caleb a little bit, confidence-wise, trust-wise. Now, to my untrained eye, trying to get better, when I do assess the tape, I thought Caleb in moments did a good job of diagnosing pre-snap, whether it was a blitz, whether it was where the Mike linebacker was going to come from. But I also saw some moments, too, as well, where there was some confusion, and it led to some missed assignments in the offensive line, and that's something Caleb needs to get better at. But look, I want to just chalk that up to rookie stuff. There was a moment in the game where we had to delay a game out of a timeout. Can't happen, right? Can't happen, especially if you want to be a winning football team. Especially if you were on the road battling with a playoff team, and guys like me said that they were going to get boat raced last week. They're actually hanging in this game. You get a delay game after the second timeout, call a timeout. You just can't have that happen. So that's stuff that you just need to clean up. But for Caleb Williams right now, I'm just trying to figure out if the offensive line can't get it better quickly. What is this going to do to possibly stunt his progress? I mean, we've been saying it in Chicago for years. The first 2 weeks of the season have looked very, very similar to many different Chicago Bears iterations that we've had in this city. And what does it always come down to? I said this on a previous show, but it sometimes feel like this is a bit of a Scooby-Doo situation where in Chicago, we always want to try and make it about the quarterback, but at the very end of the episode, we pull off the mask and it reveals that it's the offensive line. And there is definitely a little bit of that going on here right now. And you could say that Caleb should share some of the blame, but the rookie quarterback not helping out the offensive line. The offensive line is not helping out Caleb Williams right now. I will tell you that much. It's almost as if Caleb Williams is trying to cook breakfast while his house is on fire. He got absolutely pummeled in that game. And I'm going to put 80% of that on some of the protection issues that they have that are going to be ongoing. that even though we have an Indianapolis Colts opponent, which we'll get into, that can't stop the run, that has given up 200-plus rushing yards to each of their opponents in the first 2 weeks of the season, it's not a good unit. There's a great opportunity for the Chicago Bears to have a bounce-back offensive performance in week three. But this is all in-house right now. The problems for the Chicago Bears, the call is coming from inside the house. And to even attach it further, this is a part of the ruining. The Chicago Bears horror film that we don't want Caleb Williams to watch, that we have subjected to Jay Cutler, Mitch Trubisky, and Justin Fields over the last 11 years, the ruining, these are the ingredients that it takes. I think Caleb can obviously rebound from this. And I think what's fair is that we can say Caleb was played poorly for the first 2 weeks. Of course he has. He hasn't thrown a passing touchdown yet. He's got two interceptions, zero touchdowns for his first 2 weeks. The next time he throws the ball into the end zone and someone catches it, he's going to be holding on that ball for the rest of his life. It's almost the end of September. But I think it's also very fair when we also talk about some of the accuracy issues that continue to plague Caleb for the first 2 weeks, is can we give him something that resembles a clean pocket? Not bodies flying left and right, not Coleman Shelton getting pushed over. Can we give him something that at least resembles a decent pocket? And then when he's inaccurate, we can assess it from there. And the most interesting part about this as a Bears fan is there's a part of this too as well that I think is adding to the frustration, and I want to talk about it for a second. Because look, as I've mentioned over the summer throughout the show, I cannot remember a more exciting, tantalizing, hopeful, optimistic offseason that the Chicago Bears have had in a very, very, very long time. Of course, after the great Civil War, the Justin Fields wars on Twitter of Justin versus different direction. Once we found peace on that, everything else this offseason has been pretty incredible. On Hard Knocks, Caleb zipping around the city. We got Roma Dunze. Oh man, we're trading for Keenan Allen. Everything's looking great. Everything's feeling awesome. And I think a part of this, if you want to be really honest with yourself, Bears fans, and of course, your first reaction to my comments about this is all I care about the wins. So do I. But you are also a human being who takes time out of your week. You work hard all week long. And then when you do have time off, what do? You get in front with your friends and your family in front of a TV at a bar, wherever it is, and you watch the Chicago Bears for 3 hours every single week because you love to do it. Let's just be honest here. It hasn't been very fun. After an off season, with a number one pick in the draft, Caleb Williams, with a brand new receiver. We have three amazing receivers. The defense, it's going to take a step forward. This is a new era of Chicago Bears football. We're on Hard Knocks. On Hard Knocks, they're playing Ray Clay and Alan Parsons Project to Caleb Williams in slow motion. We get a couple great highlights in the preseason of him making some passes, and everything was riding up to this moment of this Chicago Bears team is going to be fun. And unfortunately, like some things in life, it hasn't been very fun. The balloon has been deflated a little bit. And that's okay. It's a bummer, sure. But I think we were all hoping that, look, through 2 weeks of the NFL season, there are not any highlight clips of Caleb Williams that we're passing around to our friends. There are no fun conversations after maybe a couple too many pops at the local brewery or pub about where this team can go, how far can Caleb can fly. If anything, it's just triggering all these old, awful feelings that we've been trained to feel as Bears fans. The O-line stinks. We've heard this before. The offensive coordinator, it's a problem. We've heard this before. we think the quarterback is the guy, but all of a sudden now there's some people on social media saying, is he the guy? Calm down, everybody. Calm down. It's okay. These first 2 weeks haven't been fun. The NFL season is tough. Last week on the show, I gladly walked you through how I thought the Chicago Bears were going to lose to the Houston Texans 27-17. And what happens sometimes is that when you say, because you can't win every game in the NFL, just ask the New England Patriots of about 9-10 years ago. You can't win every game in the NFL, and sometimes when you have to sit through and witness one of those losses, man, it hurts. And that 19-13 loss to the Houston Texans was painful. We hung in the game, but let's be honest, did we ever really feel like we had a chance? Even when we had the ball, you need a touchdown, you kick an extra point, you go ahead 20-19, maybe you sneak one away. Did you honestly really think the Chicago Bears had a chance in that game? I personally didn't. And that's been a part of some of the agita and the frustration that I think Bears fans are having right now, is that I think we thought, or were hoping, after such a great offseason, that this was going to be a party. That we were going to have ourselves a really good time. The ball was going to be flying in the air. Caleb was going to put together a couple highlights, and maybe you'd have a couple of wins to show for it. But instead, week one, you're down 17-3. Thank goodness the defense rebounds, pulls that one for a W. And then this week, they hung in the game. Defense deserves a lot of credit. Now, do I think that they're an elite unit? No, but I do think that they are in the class of very good right now. And I think they did the best they could to stop that Houston Texans team. Because, again, part of my part of my lack of faith maybe in Matt Eberflus is, man, whether it's a season, whether it's a game, his teams typically start slowly. Do they make adjustments and improve? Yes, they do. But sometimes I ask myself, is it too little too late with that? The defense is good. They're going to keep you in some games. The offense needs to pick it up. Of course, we all know that. But I think, again, this is going to have to be an incremental process. And I'm really curious to see how they play against this Indianapolis Colts team. Because a lot of it is going to come down to, can you just give us borderline minimum capable offensive line play? Which brings me to the offensive line. Let's do it. Let's do it, ladies and gentlemen. You're asking yourself, what is going on with that unit? Are they good? Are they bad? Are they playing poorly? Can they play better? Where are we landing on this? Well, let's start first with, as of this taping today, Tevin Jenkins wasn't on the practice field. Matt Pryor was in there and left guard for him. As far as we know, Nate Davis, who doesn't like to practice during the week, is probably still there at right guard. I think they're going to have to roll with what they have for at least a couple more weeks. In terms of injured reserve, Ryan Bates is going to miss at least 4 games. That's 1 down, so 3 more to go. Larry Borum also on IR. 2 down, 2 more to go. We'll see what happens there. I tried to look it up. I don't really think there's anybody out there in the street right now that you can bring in that's going to change anything. They just need to get better. And they need to link up and they need to care. Nate Davis needs to care. And you're asking yourself, how did we get to this place? And look, I like Ryan Poles as a general manager. I do not. You will never. If you follow me at Joey Sports Guy or wherever else on social media, you will not see me posting King Poles memes. I think that that's overboard. We haven't won anything. We haven't done anything. And you have to ask yourself, I mean, I get it. He's got us pointed in the right direction. I think he's a great dude. I think he tries to treat his players with respect, and I think that he's built up some interesting capital in the Chicago Bears organization at Halas Hall that's going to have other players outside the organization consider playing for us in the near future. But again, one of my big things with Ryan Poles is, especially even when you like somebody or like a general manager as a fan, like a quarterback as a fan, you've got to ask yourself, so what is the blind spot? As Bears fans, what is the blind spot with us? What is the blind spot with Ryan Poles? And it is this offensive line. At first, when he was hired, former offensive lineman, great, good news. That means we're going to take care of the position first and foremost, and the guy has his finger on the pulse of what it takes to build an elite offensive line. Unfortunately, it's been actually quite the opposite. And this is what happens sometimes with people that are put in these positions of power. We talk about blind spots with Jed Hoyer. Let's talk about blind spots with Ryan Poles. Some guys can outsmart themselves. I have categorized it as arrogance in the past. But this is basically the blind spot for Ryan Poles is the offensive line. And the easiest way to think about it is you get what you pay for at this point. I've got some numbers here for you. I've pulled them up. Nate Davis on the Chicago Bears is making $10 million this year. That is by far the most money on the offensive line for any player out there. As it goes right now, left tackle Braxton Jones is making $989,000 this season. A bargain basement deal, fifth-round pick. Great. He's a starter, but is he elite? I don't think so at this particular time. Ryan Poles is running with it because, again, a blind spot. These general managers try to outsmart themselves or think that they're so smart that look at the bargain that I got from Braxton Jones. I mean, it's fun to brag about it at a cocktail party, but once you roll it out on the field, is it really something that pays dividends for your team here and now? Braxton Jones is probably just a mid player right now. He's played fine. We haven't heard his name too much on the telecast calls, but you can also see that, again, strength is a factor with him, and he continuously gets pushed back. That is your left tackle. That is your anchor. Right guard, Nate Davis, as we said, $10 million. Center, Coleman Shelton, being paid $3 million on a one-year deal, free agent signing. The Los Angeles Rams, I mean, they know a thing or two about offense. Clearly, they didn't want to have him back. So far to this point, man, he has just been out-muscled every step of the way. And if you think it's going to let up anytime soon, you're highly mistaken. This is exactly what opposing teams are going to be keying in on moving forward, is you just got to bull rush Coleman Shelton. You got to confuse him just enough, get him on his heels, and you can just tumble that dude right over. And look, the center position, not only is he snapping the ball to the quarterback, but that's the first thing that gets in the quarterback's face is a center. If he gets pushed back, it's been happening way too often. Oh, left guard, we've got Tevin Jenkins, second round pick, fell in the draft because of injuries, $2.1 million. And then finally, Darnell Wright, he was a first round pick last year, making $5.2 million. Again, we're learning a lot more about Darnell Wright this year than I think we would in our rookie year. Last year, he was very, very solid. This year, not so much, needs to pick it up. And I'm curious to see how that rolls itself out moving forward. So right there, the highest paid guy on the list right now is $10 million to Nate Davis. What if I threw this one at you? Do you know that in the NFL right now, there are 55 offensive linemen across the NFL making more than Nate Davis? I'm going to repeat that. 55 offensive linemen, 55 players are making more money than Nate Davis. Now, I appreciate Ryan Poles trying to pinch a penny here or there and get a great deal on Braxton Jones, but you're telling me that everyone else in the NFL has at least one, probably two players on their offensive line that are making more money? And when you talk about the highest paid guys in the game, there are 12 players making over $20 million a year. What have the Chicago Bears done? They're paying $18 million a year to Tremaine Edmonds, $20 million a year to Jalen Johnson, $27 million now to DJ Moore, $27 million to Keenan Allen now. I'm not trying to say that I disagree with the allocation of those dollars, but I'm also saying, man, you get what you pay for when you talk about the offensive line. And this is not new to the Chicago Bears. And this kind of blows my mind. When we talk about bear weather, when we talk about running the football, when we talk about trying to win in the nasty, rough, and tough black and blue NFC North, the Chicago Bears have never really heavily invested in their offensive line. It kind of blew my mind a little bit. In my opinion, the best offensive line that the Chicago Bears ever had was, I got to be honest with you, you got to go back to 2006, when they went to the Super Bowl. If you look at the grades on it, if you look at the talent there, that group was John Tate, Reuben Brown, Olin Krutz, Roberto Garza, and Fred Miller. An important distinction there to keep in mind. Now, Roberto Garza was brought over. Reuben Brown was also signed. John Tate was also signed. Olin Krutz. All those guys were signed in free agency. Olin Krutz was the only guy that was drafted in the Chicago Bears organization. And all those dudes were veterans. Roberto Garza was the youngest guy in that group, and he had already been around for 5 years at that point. We cannot say the same right now for the Chicago Bears team. Some of these guys have limited starts. Some of these guys are only in their third year. Darnell Wright's only in his second year. Tevin Jenkins is in his third year. Coleman Shelton's been around, but man, not a lot of starting experience. So, man, you have to go back 18 years. And then you say to yourself, well, gosh, how long did that group stick around? Not very long. For the most part, the group was somewhat the same. They moved Tate over to right tackle as they moved on from Fred Miller. But by 2009, which was only 2 years later, they brought in washed-up Orlando Pace, Frank Omoyale, Olin Krutz, Roberto Garza, and they had Chris Williams as a rookie. After that, there's guys like John St. Clair, Jamarcus Webb, Gabe Kareemi. They did try and do it through the draft. Those guys just never hit. Those guys never worked out. But even when that happened, the Chicago Bears have never been willing to shell out big dollars at the offensive line. It's just true. We've given money to Adewale Ogunle. We've given money to Khalil Mack. We've given money to Montez Sweat. We have no problem paying players big money. But for some reason, the philosophy in House Hall, and I think this precedes Ryan Poles, is that we've never spent big money on the offensive line. Here are the biggest contracts ever handed out to any Chicago Bear offensive lineman, as far as I can tell, in franchise history. If I'm wrong, please comment on our YouTube channel if you're watching. In 2005, we give John Tate 6 years, $34 million. Okay. Adjusted for inflation, that's a pretty hefty deal, but still, $34 million. If you guys also remember, in 2013, we actually went out and tried to address the position. We brought in Jermon Bushrod, 5 years, $35.95 million. All right. Took a swing there. If we all remember, that didn't work out. But alas, you made an attempt at it. That's the Phil Emery Chicago Bears. And then finally, in 2019, Cody Whitehair, 5 years, $51 million. Do the math. That's still the $10 million that they're handing out to Nate Davis on his three-year deal for $30 million. So what I'm getting at is that you can say whatever you want about the offensive line coach Chris Morgan right now. We could say whatever we want even about the players that are constructed by Ryan Poles. The Chicago Bears have never prioritized offensive line play. When the highest paid player has only been $10 million a year, you know, you're getting what you pay for when it comes to the Chicago Bears. And that's got to be attractive to the McCaskies because, look, let's be honest here. They brought in Ryan Poles, offensive line guy. They probably thought that they could find offensive line quality on the cheap, and that's exactly what Ryan Poles has been trying to do. Now, would the Chicago Bears team be better if they had given $90 million to Mike McGlinchey right now? Who knows, right? But at some point, the investment of those dollars has to probably go into that position. Either that, or you're saying to me right now, with the Chicago Bears possibly looking at three picks in the top 50 players next year, with the Carolina Panthers second-round pick coming back to them, you got to use at least two, maybe three, on offensive line. And start it over somehow and let that group build. And hopefully you hit on a couple of guys, because the way that this thing is going right now, this is a blind spot for Ryan Poles. It's a blind spot for the Chicago Bears. I'm not saying money equals excellence, but I'm also saying that it's been a position that has been ignored in Chicago for far too long. When you talk about wanting to get the quarterback right, ask yourself, have we ever gotten the offensive line right since 2006? 18 years now. since they had a great group, a group that I think that we were all pretty proud of. And since then, it's been draft the guy, doesn't work, Charles Leno, Jamarcus Webb, maybe he can play this, maybe he can, well, let's switch him over here, let's do, it hasn't worked. We're doing it still to this day. It is the definition of insanity. And I do have some concern that if you want to see progress from Caleb Williams sooner than later, I don't know what to tell you, because with the way that this offensive line is structured right now, they need to progress also as well. So this isn't going to be something that goes in tandem. Which comes first? Does Caleb get better or does his offensive line get better? I leave that up to you to think about. But unfortunately, that means that the first 2 weeks haven't been very fun. It means that Caleb Williams hasn't been very accurate. And again, and again, and again, the Chicago Bears have an offensive line that is not up to snuff. And sometimes you just have to ask yourself, maybe it's because they don't prioritize or make that a huge investment in their organization. That's going to do it here on Sports Talk Chicago. Thank you so much for tuning in. You can follow me at Joey Sports Guy. On our STC feed, I want to also give a quick shout-out to 98.3 The Life, WKAN, 105.5 The Ticket, ACTV, Jed TV, WJOB, Cities 92.9 Talk FM, WROK in Rockford, and 101.1 Peoria Sports Radio. Make sure you check us out on YouTube, like, comment, and subscribe. Or if you want to just check out our audio-only podcast, Google Sports Talk Chicago. It'll come up on Apple, Spotify, all that good stuff. Be well, be safe. Please be good to each other. We will be back soon. Take care. Sports Talk Chicago is out. When you've been injured in an accident, insurance companies like to treat your situation like a game. But MVP Injury Law has over 30 years of experience dealing with those guys, and they'll march you down the field and get you in the end zone so you get the compensation that you deserve. Put your most valuable player on the field, MVPinjuryLaw.com, or call them today.
Got hurt in a crash? Call MVP. 312-883-9500. We're the team.